We're looking at the life of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu and his conquests and military achievements. Now, the death of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab encouraged the enemies of Islam, especially those in Persia and the Byzantine, to attempt to reconquer the land that they had lost. The king of Persia, Yazdegerd, began to make plans in Ferghana, in the capital of Samarkand, where he resided. The Byzantine leaders left Syria and moved to Constantinople, the capital of the Byzantines, and the remainder of the Byzantine army was located in Alexandria in Egypt, where they had been entrenched in the era of Umar bin Khattab. And Amr bin As sought permission from Sayyidina Uthman to conquer it, though it was well fortified with catapults in its wall. Heraclius was determined to fight in this battle himself, and not one Byzantine soldier was going to lag behind, for Alexandria was the last stronghold. And consequently, the Byzantines of Alexandria assembled, and they began looking for ways to reclaim their past rule over it. And this led them to break their peace treaty with the Muslims, in which they had been helped by the Byzantine navy, which had sent them 300 ships, all carrying men and weapons. And Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu faced this challenge in a determined and resolute manner, and he managed to subdue the Persians and the Byzantine rebels in restoring the Islamic rule in these lands. He continued the jihad and the conquest in other lands in order to cut any aid coming from them. He established military rule bases where the Muslims stayed in order to guard the lands of Islam. And he's establishing a naval force because the army direly needed it. And the main military bases and strongholds of the Muslim army in the time of Sayyidina Uthman were the capitals of the major areas, and the bases of Iraq were Kufa and Basra. The bases of Syria, after it had fallen completely under Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan, was Damascus, and the base of Egypt was Fustat. And those were some of the significant developments in the time of Sayyidina Uthman. Now, as we mentioned, that the Byzantines had assembled a mighty army to fight the Muslims in Syria at the beginning of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu's khilafat, and consequently Sayyidina Uthman wrote to Al-Walid bin Uqba in Kufa requesting that he come to the aid of his brothers in Syria. And Al-Walid sent 8,000 men led by Salman bin Rabi al-Bahili. Then in the land of Byzantines, the Muslims got the upper hand and took prisoners and spoils. However, the alliance of the Byzantines and Turks gathered again to fight the Muslims who had invaded Armenia from Syria under the command of Habib ibn Maslama, who was a very unique strategist. And he decided to raid the camp of the enemy's leaders and his wife, Umm Abdullah bin Yazid al-Kalbi, heard him mention and asked that, "So where will you head?" And replied, "Al-Muriyan, tent to paradise." And he raided and overcame them. But when he arrived at the tent of Al-Muriyan, he found that his wife had preceded him and had already killed the man. Now, we've continued his ongoing jihad and victories in the lands of Armenia and Azerbaijan, conquering them either by making treaties or by force. And Habib ibn Maslama was amongst the distinguished commanders of the Muslims fighting the Byzantines in Armenia, and he destroyed complete armies and conquered numerous fortresses and towns. He fought in the Byzantine lands by the borders of Iraq, where he conquered many fortresses such as Shamshat and Malatya. And in 25th year after Hijrah, Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhu marched to Byzantine, where he got to a particular point where he found the fortress between Antakya and Tarsus was empty. So he stationed there a large army of soldiers from Syria and Iraq. And the following summer, his commander, Qais ibn al-Hurr al-Abasi, continued the expedition. And when he finished, he destroyed some of the fortresses near Antioch to prevent the Byzantines from using them. And when Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was the ruler of Syria, he used to insist that Umar let him take to battle in the sea. And he would inform him that the Byzantines were so close to Homs, the people of the village, they could hear the barking of the dogs and the crawling of their roosters. And Umar radiallahu anhu wrote to Amr bin As requesting him, and he said, "Describe to me the sea and one who embarks on it, for I'm tempted to embark on it." Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu had never been to the sea, never seen the sea. There was no, you know, let's take a luxury drive down or ride down to the sea. Let's go check what's that all about. There wasn't anything like that. So Sayyidina Amr bin As wrote back to Sayyidina Umar saying that, "Indeed, I've seen a small creature enter a mighty one when it is still scares you and it moves, it makes you lose your mind. It cannot be trusted and exudes uncertainty. It's like a worm on a piece of wood. If it turns, it drowns. And if it's saved, it is frightened and dazzled. Now, with that type of a description, you can imagine, Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab wrote to Sayyidina Muawiyah and said, "No, by that being who sent Muhammad with the truth, I will never make a Muslim go there. For by Allah, one Muslim means more to me than everything the Byzantines possess." However, Sayyidina Muawiyah was still thinking about it, for he had seen the Byzantines and harbored an earnest desire to conquer it. And when Sayyidina Uthman became the Khalif, Sayyidina Muawiyah raised the issue again, seeking his permission. And Sayyidina Uthman replied that, "I witness Umar reply to you, Allah have mercy upon him, when you ask him to lead the campaign." In spite of this, Sayyidina Muawiyah wrote to him once more, imagining that sailing to Cyprus was an easy task. And Sayyidina Uthman replied, "If you are ready to take your wife with you, feel free to go. But if not, my answer is no," stipulating yet another condition. He said, "Do not pick and choose your men or draw lots amongst them. Let them choose. And whoever decides to join you, take him with you and help him." After reading this, Sayyidina Muawiyah prepared to sail to Cyprus. And he wrote on his men on the coast, instructing them to fix the ships and bring them close to the fortress of Akka, which he had renovated. From there, the Muslims would sail to Cyprus. And Sayyidina Muawiyah prepared enough ships to carry the army and set sail from the port of Akka. And the ships were many. And on one of them was his wife, Fathiya ibn Qardha. Even though Muawiyah radiallahu anhu did not force anyone to come along, a large number of Muslims accompanied him. And this indicates that this worldly life and all that is in it meant very little to the Muslims, even though its doors had opened wide for them and they were fully enjoying its pleasures. They still strongly believed that jihad in the path of Allah was the way to earn the pleasure of Allah. And that if they fell short in their duty and neglected this obligation, Allah would withhold His aid from them in this world and deny them His acceptance in the year after, which would truly be an evident loss. For this reason, most of the Muslims at that time hurried to join Sayyidina Muawiyah and raced each other to board the ships. And this took place after the winter of the 28th year after Hijrah. Muslim went from Syria to the port of Akka and then headed towards Cyprus. And Muawiyah radiallahu anhu gathered his companions, and amongst them there was Abu Ayyub, Khalid ibn Zayd al-Ansari, Abu Darda, Abu Dhar al-Ghifari, Ubadah ibn Samit, and others. Abdullah ibn Bishr al-Mazni, Shaddad ibn Aus, Sabit al-Miqdad ibn Aswad, Kab, Jubair ibn Nufair, others. And after mutual consultation with these great Sahaba radiallahu anhum, he sent a message to the people of Cyprus informing them that they had not arrived to overtake their island, but they only wanted to invite them to Islam and secure the borders of the Islamic State, and that the Byzantines had used Cyprus as a resting place during their campaigns, resupplying themselves there when they ran short of provision. As a result, it posed a threat to the cities in Syria, which were basically at its mercy. And if the Muslims remained in doubt about the cooperation of the island, it would be thrown from their sides and a threat to the boundaries. The inhabitants of Syria, of Cyprus, however, did not submit to them. They had no desire to allow them to enter the lands. They fortified themselves in the capital and refused to come out to face the Muslims. And they waited for the Byzantine backup to arrive and counter the Muslim attack. The Muslims besieged the capital, Constantinople. After only a few hours, people requested a peace treaty. The Muslims readily accepted that, and both sides set out their conditions. The people of Cyprus stipulated that Muslims must not ask them to interfere with the Byzantine affairs, and they were not powerful enough to fight them. So there were certain things that were outlined in the peace treaty that have been jotted down, and we'll discuss that further tomorrow in terms of what that entailed. But just to outline very briefly, what was stated is that the Muslims will not defend the island if someone attacks it. The residents of Cyprus must inform them of the movements of the Byzantine enemy, and they must pay the Muslims 7,200 dinars annually. Those were some of the points. With this peace treaty concluded, the Muslims returned to Syria. It was now evident that they were fully able to engage in naval warfare. And furthermore, the campaign provided them the useful experience in handling battles like these against the enemy. But then in the 32nd year after Hijrah, the residents of Cyprus relented under severe Byzantine pressure and were forced to give up their ships, which they used to invade the Muslim lands. And this meant they had broken the conditions of the treaty. And when Muawiyah radiallahu anhu heard about this treachery, he decided to take control of the island, place it under Muslim rule. The Muslims carried out violent attacks, killing and imprisoning people and looting the property. And this was done by the army of Sayyidina Muawiyah from one side and Sayyidina Abdullah bin Sa'd from the other side. They killed many men, took multiple captives and collected large amounts of spoil. And under the pressure of the Muslim force, the ruler of Cyprus had no choice but to surrender to the conquerors and ask them to make peace. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu agreed to the terms. And Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was afraid to leave them without any army at the time. And consequently, he sent an army of 12,000 men who moved there and was stationed over there. So that is how Cyprus came under the rule of the Muslims during the Khilafah of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu.